to be here, to be together. We have sung the Christmas story tonight. We've heard some texts. We've watched some videos. We haven't yet accounted for some great Christmas movies. This is kind of the season of good Christmas movies, isn't it? What are some of the favorites out here? I can hardly see anybody, so just gonna have to talk. Hi, I can see Lillian.
Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Yeah, A Christmas Carol, okay? Some others. It's a Wonderful Life. I haven't heard that one tonight yet. Good, Charlie Brown's Christmas. We've got The Grinch. We've got A Christmas Story. Scrooge. Yeah. You know, all of these Christmas movies, almost all of them, I won't say all of them, almost all of them, one of the things they have in common is that Christmas is this event of no return. This moment from which everything changes. You know, so you have in A Christmas Story, it's told from the adult Ralphie reflecting on this epic, momentous moment in his life. You have the Griswold family Christmas. Something from which no one will ever recover from. Ralphie's genuine Red Ryder 200-shot carbon action air rifle. He remembers the year he got that. Everything was different after that, especially after he shot his eye out. The Grinch is a story of conversion. The Grinch goes from hating his neighbor to loving his neighbor all around Christmas. Rudolph is once excluded from this uppity, exclusive reindeer community. And suddenly he's included. He's valued. Christmas is this moment that changes everything. It's an event from which there is, we could say, no recovery. There's no return to what's ordinary or normal. But rather, there's this event which holds significance for everything which comes afterwards. Now, this isn't just true of our popular holiday movies. This is more importantly true of the original Christmas story. This is a story, this is an event that begins small and then slowly includes more and more people. It's like yeast working its way through a lump of dough, or it's like a seed that's planted that's small and then grows into a large tree. Initially, it's a story that seems insignificant and ordinary. And this is the power of it. This is what makes it a story from which there's no return, there's no recovery. Now, it begins inauspiciously. There's a young couple desperately seeking shelter in an unfamiliar town. There's a woman in labor with no roof over her head, a baby that's born in poverty, with suspect parentage, born in a rural community far from the halls of power, placed in a feeding trough, wrapped in rags. These are unexceptional details of poverty and inequality that characterize just about any society. Children are born every day, even today, under such conditions of poverty and anonymity. The cast of characters is also an unlikely bunch, primarily because those who we would expect to do things, the important people that matter from a historical perspective, people like kings and philosophers and religious leaders, these people only exist in the background of the story. On this night, they were focused on something else. They were resting in their relative comfort and security. Without a doubt, there were many things that the powerful, the wealthy, the connected, the intelligent were worrying about and discussing and making plans for on the night that Jesus was born. Certainly, men and women of means and power were scheming to shape the world according to their will. And yet, next door, wrapped in rags, was the most important event that would take place in their lives, even their era, even world history. The innkeeper, who gives Mary and Joseph a place to rest, is a minor character. We don't even know his name. He may have visited Mary and Joseph and Jesus in the barn, but this detail isn't even recorded. He's most likely during this time working to keep his business afloat. He's trying to please his paying guests, and he's worried about his role with the Bethlehem Better Business Bureau. He's unintentionally during this time, however, playing host to one who will someday host him, saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And while this is an important night for Mary and Joseph, are their emotions really all that different from the emotions of any other first-time parent? Sure, at this moment they say, "This is the child that changes everything." They do, but they say this as parents. And every parent that has their first child says this. This is the child that changes everything. Because in the small microcosm of our lives, that's actually true. You can't remember what it was like before. It seems appropriate to sing O Holy Night when any child is born. Perhaps the only characters other than Mary and Joseph for whom this night becomes set apart and holy are the shepherds. They are doing dirty and mundane work. Their days are ruled by repetition and boredom. It is dark, it is silent, they are resting around a fire while the sheep under their care are sleeping nearby. These are men who make no great impact on the shape of human history. They create no lasting work of art. They make no significant decisions that we know of other than their decision to listen to what the angel says. They do not amass obscene amounts of wealth. They don't become superheroes and make the world safe for democracy. They live lives of mundane repetition, largely outside the structures of power. They're nameless. Yeah. Not just for us, but they're even nameless in their own time. They're the shepherds, the ones that live out there outside of town that watch over the sheep, the ones who stink. If anything, they were the nameless ones that parents would use as a cautionary tale. Kids, stay in school, keep up with your studies, you don't want to end up like the shepherds. And yet these are the ones invited by a host of angels to seek out the child and to make up his royal court. What begins ordinary and seems mundane that night is suddenly broken open by an angelic chorus. A being so magnificent and beautiful that he or she must say, "Do not be afraid," before he says anything else. And suddenly the night is overwhelmed by the light of these beings. The silence is filled with the sound of voices singing. And for the shepherds, this is one of those moments. This is one of those moments when the world is suddenly illuminated, as though there was a flash of lightning in the midst of a storm. This is one of those moments when joy recklessly floods and fills us, to the point where we believe that everything is possible and everything is important. This is a moment that is holy, that is set apart, in which truth and joy and peace, all of that is heaven, suddenly interrupts the mundane and the ordinary. This is a moment, no doubt, that changes everything. In their joy and perhaps in their curiosity, the shepherds go into town to find a baby, just as the angel had said. At this point, they have no idea who this child will become. They could not at this moment predict or even imagine the way that we now know Jesus. But there was a weight, a significance to those events. They had been given a gift. They had been included in something. There was meaning. There was a presence. They might not fully understand what is happening around them, but they now notice that the ground on which they tend to their sheep and gripe about family issues and swear at each other and argue, that this ground itself is holy. In a moment of clarity, they see this space, this place, as visited by the power and the presence of God. And that changes everything. That's a realization. That's a moment from which you cannot recover. A new life is born. In some ways, in many ways, the experience of these nameless shepherds is the universal good news of Christmas. News which forever blocks our return to anything ordinary or normal. The Gospel of John, which we read earlier, describes Christmas in this way: "And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." My guess is that we have all had moments like the shepherd in the past. Perhaps not choirs of angels or smelling like sheep, but we've had moments when suddenly everything seems clear and important, where the ordinariness is disrupted by something holy. Perhaps it came upon you suddenly while you were observing a sunset, or walking with a friend, or at the birth of a child, or while riding, let's throw a long ball here, riding the SkyTrain. These are moments that make us think about God, about the purpose of our lives, or about the big questions of existence. In the language of John, These moments, these holy moments, are times where the Word of God calls out to us and speaks to us. They're encounters with the Word. They are important. They are set apart. They are holy. But these happen to us, and then we recover and we move on far too easily. Because for most of us, our view of the holy, of the presence of God, and our experience of it is that there's some kind of divide between what is ordinary and mundane and the presence and the power of God. But Christmas tells us that this is a false gap. For the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. This child that the shepherds visited grew up to become one in which and through which God's care and purpose for the earth is made clear. For this one born in Bethlehem and attended to by nameless shepherds becomes one who powerfully frees those under the oppression of evil, who heals those suffering from sickness, who humbles those under delusions of grandeur, who lifts up those crushed by inequality and injustice. It becomes clear as Jesus' life unfolds that God is speaking, calling, and pursuing us in and through this person. In this one human life, we finally see what it looks like to live in the love of God. And we cannot take our eyes off of this life if we truly see it. It is compelling, beautiful, inspiring. In this life, in the birth of this child, God takes on human flesh, even to the point of death. And when we encounter the beauty of this life, we reach a point of no return. For Jesus' life is not a momentary flash of human brilliance that is only inspiring, but it is an event in which God takes up residence among us. For the Word becomes flesh and makes His dwelling among us. And this is the good news. In what was ordinary, a child born to impoverished parents, shepherds watching their sheep by night, God finds a way not just to inspire us, but to dwell with us. It doesn't happen through political power or in some great work of art in a museum, but rather in something as normal as the birth of a child. And so the experience of the shepherds, where their field of work suddenly breaks open with the choirs of heaven, is now the picture of our everyday life. Despite appearances, there is no ordinary life or mundane moment. For God now makes His dwelling among us. Each and every moment is weighted with glory. If we would have eyes to see, we might catch a glimpse of the new dawn breaking in the midst of our insecurities and struggles in this world. For the light shines out from the darkness. If we would only have ears to hear the choirs of heavenly voices announcing the glory of this present moment, this moment as one punctuated by the grace and presence of God, then we too just might fall to our knees this holy night and share this moment with the shepherds. As the song says, O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Fall on your knees. Friends, there is no recovery from Christmas. For in this day, in this moment, God has come here. Amen.